Blog Talk Radio.
Track on one of her CDs, but I heard it and I was like, man, she should have released this. This is an awesome song.
Yes, I totally agree.
Anyways, we're in need of some female empowerment this morning. So we are the female empowerment.
We are. Yes, we are.
Good morning. You listen to Lunch with the Ginger and the Corey.
Yay! The Ginger and the Corey.
Oh, God. So much news over the weekend. Ooh.
Yes. So much stuff happened this weekend.
Did you hear all the love that we got over the weekend? You weren't watching the Twitter, were you?
No, I must have missed that.
It's mad love on the Thursday weekend. I like it. Jay was talking to us. Something happened at a party. He embarrassed himself, apparently. If we told you
I
not,
saw that. He was doing some kind of, what was it, dance central?
I don't know, but don't dance.
Some dance game, yeah.
Everybody danced. It was everybody's dance.
There we go, yeah.
Jay,
by the way, Jay, I'm going to need a video of that.
Yes, somebody please get us a video. Mm-hmm. No dancing at parties in public, Jay. Never dance in public.
That's great.
Whew. And a good morning to, who else was giving us Twitter love over the weekend? David Lewis, how you doing? How you doing?
I love Twitter love.
And Tamika, who called us the ladies of podcasting. Good morning. I'm saying hello to everybody over the weekend. I'm saying it hello because I was there hanging around Twitter, of course, but we are still working on our upgrades to our site. It's just, anybody out there good with
Blaster broken.
Yeah, Blaster broken. Anybody there would you don't want to go second because I'm like, my PHP skills, I think I took like a semester and a half of PHP and, you know, that was like PHP 4. So I'm like, what's the issue? Like trying to access memories, it's not working, headaches and whatnot. Oh,
that's no good.
Yeah, it was no good. So, Ginger, did you have a good weekend? What did you? You told me you were playing some Aeon, right?
Yes, I was playing some Aeon. And, boys, seriously, stop with the assuming that just because you're in a video game, it's another boy you're playing with. I am on a girl, Abby. And, by the way, that girl, Abby, is hot. I am kicking your tail all over the place. And you are thinking I'm a guy. No. I had to log into it. Well, it wasn't even Vince. TeamSpeak, by the way. Hello, Dark Ages. And, show these boys that the chick that had just kicked their butt really was a chick.
And I'm mad because I didn't get to play.
I logged in, and it is free to play now, so if you've ever played, your characters are there waiting for you. My 44 Chanter, she was sitting there, and she was ready to go. It was hot. I was in game about, 2 minutes. I was still going over all the hotkeys again, trying to remember which each one did. And all of a sudden, I get somebody messaging me, your gear's really good, and it looks like you're just newly back because you've got a title and this, that, and the other. Do you, are you looking for a clan? Sure, joined up, started playing, kicked their tails all over the place. And yeah. They started doing the whole EP measuring. Well, I've played this, and I've done this, and da-da-da-da-da. And they were impressed that I had boobs.
Hoops?
that I had boobs.
Oh, I thought you said hoo-hoops. I was like, I think I like that. Hoo-hoops.
Hoo-hoops? Well, that I had boobs.
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 Boss boobs. I think that's a T-shirt, Boss Boobs, right here.
Yeah, no, God, yeah.
Word, writing it down, making it after the show.
Yeah. And I swear to God, the next person who I play with who does the no homo thing, I'm going to slap.
Oh, good God. Again, teenagers, right?
No, these were teenagers.
Oh, that's scary.
Yes.
You know, not to put our teen listeners down or anything like that, because a lot of you are awesome sauce. We usually tell you when you are, especially that little guy in Second Life, Master Chief. That's his name, by the way, did I tell you? That's his Second Life name, Master Chief. And he's pretty awesome, wise beyond his years. But we usually say that because sometimes you new teens say some crazy stuff, and it's just because you haven't learned better. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. You learn better as you get older, just the way it happens. But when you're grown up and you say things like that, that's scary.
Yes. I was kicking the guy's ass, and he was all like, oh, I think I'm in love. Wait, no homo. I was like, dude, unless you have a vagina, beyond that, don't do that shit.
Vagina, it's danger. Morning show. You know what? And I just pictured you in my head all relaxed to the side, aggravated. She's got a shot of scotch in her hand, and she's just leaning. Cigarette smoke is lingering around. Oh, Ginger, daytime show, not nighttime.
Say, my bad.
All right. We got tons of news. We have gabbed on enough. Some of you were like, get to the news.
No, there is not tons of news today. Speak from your own stuff.
I got tons. I got lots of stuff. Oh, yes, yes. Starting with the charts, because y'all love when I do the charts every Monday, right?
Wow, what you got?
Ah, yes. So, what have you guys been playing over the weekend? Well, let me tell you, or actually from last week. Number 10 is Zumba Fitness. Yes, the game that will not die, Zumba Fitness. Number 9, Assassin's Creed Revelations, which I figured was going to creep its way back into the top 10 since they announced the new Assassin's Creed. Number 8, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Number 7, Mario and Sonic London 2012 Olympic Games. Number 6, it's The Sims Showtime, which I've heard a few complaints about issues, but I'm not sure. I haven't looked into it because our review copy is not due in until tomorrow. EA actually sent us a review copy. Can you believe it, Ginger?
That is
They must be getting tired of us griping at them. Well, you know what? I talked to a woman. Sometimes it takes a woman to get the job done. So thank you, ladies at EA, for sending that over. We'll happily share with you guys what's going on with a new thing we're going to be trying out. And I'll be trying it out with The Sims 3. Remember our running, your idea, Ginger's idea? Running review? Yeah. I'm going to do that. Yeah. Okay, each number 5, FIFA 12. Number 4, Mario Party 9. Yes, another game that will not die. And if you've never played Mario Party, you should. You'll see why. Number 3, Street Fighter X Tekken, SOPA supporters. Number 2, SSX. Number 1, of course, it's Mass Effect. Of course, Mass Effect 3. What else would it be? Ah, lovely. There's some other ones in the top 20. By the way, our charts extend all the way to 40. So, yeah, there's lots of things that keep hanging around in that top 40, but we won't go into those, and no, we do not post them. We only care about the top 10, sorry. But by the way, okay, those of you who are not watching The Walking Dead and have not gotten swept up in the craze, there is a Walking Dead game coming to Facebook. Yes.
Really?
Yes, and apparently you get to shoot them. They're not called zombies in The Walking Dead. They're called walkers. That's why it's Walking Dead. So if you've not gotten swept up in the craze and you kind of want to see what it's all about, the game is supposed to be released on Facebook in April, but you have to like them on Facebook first, and you can kind of work your way backwards from there. You play the game and then go watch the episodes. The finale is going to be this coming Sunday, I believe. Yeah, so don't watch it. Don't spoil it for yourself, but you can play the game, work your way backwards. And I'm not going to give away any spoilers. Let's just say last night's episode hurt me because cuteness died, and that's all I can say. All right.
Cuteness.
Why you gotta take the cute guys off the show? The good-looking men's. Ooh.
Man, that's no good. That's no good.
That man was syrup worthy. He needs just warm syrup all over the abs. Just and now he's dead. Oh. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, so I have Ginger. Are you ready with some news, or you want me to go ahead?
I am ready with some news. This is not good. Minnesota, get ready to bend over and grab your ankles.
Ew.
All right. Minnesota lawmakers seek to ban community broadband. I am pulling this from GamePolitics.com because I love them. All right, so what do they say? They say it seems like state legislators are lining up to pass legislation designed to protect the interests of corporations in the business of providing broadband services. Minnesota is the latest state to offer legislation meant to forbid community broadband projects joining states like Georgia and North Carolina. Oh, I'm not going to sleep. Okay, not going to sleep. Whew. All right, so Minnesota is the state to offer is the latest state to offer legislation meant to forbid community broadband projects joining states like Georgia and North Carolina. The bill before lawmakers in Minnesota is called HS 2695. It bars any community from building a broadband network within the state. Meanwhile, the companies that provide broadband in the state, which is CenturyLink and MediaCom, are refusing to expand their networks to underserved and unserved areas within the state. While the Minnesota Cable Communications Association, the MCCA, is representing the industry in the state, claims that they are not behind the bill before lawmakers, activists have their doubts. Even if they aren't behind the passage of such a bill, the passage of such a bill would be a gift. The industry does not want to compete with broadband run by towns and cities. All right, so more or less, this is going to stop smaller companies from serving these smaller communities. I've seen several states, I want to say Colorado is one of them, that they actually have community broadband within their city. And we're talking fiber optic broadband.
Yeah.
We're talking the good stuff.
So they're saying no more of it.
They're saying no more of that. Mm-mm. You're going to have to buy from the big companies or not get it at all. And if they don't come to your city, well, you're just SOL.
How can you tell people how they do their own internet? What the hell is that about?
I know, right? This is totally ridiculous. I don't understand how they can do this. I mean, especially if they're not even in a town that wants to build it. If the town has no internet and wants to have their own.
Somebody get Obama on the line. That sounds to me like you're trying to hold people back.
Yeah.
That's exactly why people are so ass backwards in small towns, because they have no access to the world, period. They not only cannot leave their town, they can't see outside of their town either with the internet.
Yes. This is censorship on the highest scale. This is ridiculous. This should not be passing. Whoever thought this up really ought to be slapped. You may be okay with snail mail, but personally, the last time I tried to address it, I get the address backwards, because that's how long it's been that I've sent snail mail for anything.
I have that issue even before email existed.
I'm like, even kidding.
Is it to and from? Which goes at the top?
Yes, it was Christmas, and I did all my cards backwards and not even think about it. My husband, the other person, didn't even notice and took them down to the place, and yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm.
Post office is like, by the way, this is backwards.
Oops. I've mailed stuff to myself before many times. You all know that. Remember I told you I was supposed to send you something and I mailed it again?
Yes.
In my mailbox. Yeah.
I don't ever send snail mail. So, yeah. Screw you. Give me my internet.
Yes. Mm. All right. So, what is the world's largest gaming site? No, it's not Gamer Girls Radio or Gamedatrix, unfortunately. But we're coming. But it is Wikia. What is Wikia? It's a gaming site, and I don't know what it is. Well, this is a website created by Jimmy Wales. You know, that guy that created that little website called Wikipedia? Mm-hmm. He is officially the largest gaming site in the world, or Wikia is, with 26 million monthly unique users. There are even bigger than IGN and GameSpot for the first time ever last month, which we are excited about. At least we like Jimmy. Just as anyone can create a new article on Wikipedia, anyone can create a new community in Wikia. The founder sets the rules for that site and elects the moderators who help to govern it. There are now over 300,000 wikis generating around 50 million unique visitors a month. 600 new sites are created every day. Wikia CEO Craig Palmer stopped by to visit our peoples over at the VentureBeats offices recently and told them that we're not a forum or a place for Q&A. These are communities creating lasting content like a traditional media company, but without the hierarchy. Wikia has received $14 million in financing from Bessemer, Amazon, and the list of names, angels like Ron Conway, Reid Hoffman, and Mitch Kapoor, all of which we have not sat in their laps yet. That's why they gave the money to Wikia. But when we sit in their laps, we'll get some of that money. Palmer believes that it is well-positioned to thrive in an age when social media seems to be dominating the conversation. On Facebook and Twitter, he says, there is so much content, it gets lost in the stream. Our users are also creators of these sites, so they are deeply engaged. The average member of the gaming Wikia, for example, spends 30 minutes a day on one of the company's sites. To manage its two largest and fastest-growing properties, gaming and entertainment, Wikia Poach, the heads of IGN's gaming and movie sites, Hillary Goldstein and Eric Morrow. While Wikia says it's been profitable since 2005, it is looking to capture more high-end brand dollars by creating a more refined editorial product. Goldstein and Morrow will manage hub pages that collect the best in gaming and entertainment from around Wikia. And there's Palmer saying, we're turning up the dial in terms of strategic relationships and aiming to provide our community with exclusive and pre-release material. Hillary and Eric can really help us to craft those partnerships, Palmer told us. Well, there's some arguments going on, of course. We're not going to get involved in this fight because we just, this is not a good fight to get involved in. Although, you know, we could put our toe in the water. We're not going to because we have our own direction we're going in. But someone else is quoted as saying, says just because anyone can do something, it makes it better than the guys who specialize in this area. IGN and GameSpot is who they're speaking of. This is right. And, of course, someone is saying, well, IGN sucks in any way.
IGN does suck.
Oh, my. I am trying to be completely impartial. But I have to say that Gamer Girls Radio and that GamerNatrix.com is pretty damn awesome. They need some work, but they're pretty damn awesome already. Anyway, good luck to you, Wikia. I personally don't really visit their sites because they're done by people who aren't, you know, it's because it's done by fans. Not to say the fans don't know their stuff, but generally when you have a fan girl, fanboys for some of you, outlook on things, you tend to write things from that perspective and not from, you know, if you're a game journalist, you write it from a journalist perspective. You may love or hate it, but if you are a true journalist, you try to be completely impartial. You're not going to put in, you know, stuff that doesn't belong there. This is the greatest game ever. No. So I tend not to visit Wikia for that reason. But who knows? Maybe they're going to do something that may change our minds here so that we can visit. I also have a comb and I'm combing my hair during the show. Can y'all explain to me why I'm doing that? All right. All right, Ginger. It's my turn
and I'm trying not to lose my voice. All right. So, Mojang settles Scrolls lawsuit with Bethesda.
Ooh.
Yay. All right, so over the weekend, Mojang's Carl Manet announced on the company's official website that it had settled its lawsuit with Bethesda Softworks over the use of the word Scrolls for its next title. The lawsuit was filed after Mojang filed for a trademark of the term for its next game. Bethesda argued at the time that there would be brand confusion because of its long-running Elder Scrolls series. No. Bethesda doesn't know. Apparently, a face-to-face someone during GDC has something to do with it, though the details of what put the lawsuit to bed was not disclosed. The following message from Carl Manet was posted on Mojang's official website March 10th, which was 2 days ago. He says, dear members of the internet, we have settled the lawsuit over Scrolls and Mojang are friends again. To answer the big question...
Wait a minute, friends again. When were they friends the first time?
Yeah, right? To answer the big question, yes, Scrolls is still going to be called Scrolls. To answer the second question, we are going to keep the trademark. For us, this was never about a trademark, but being able to use Scrolls as the name of our game, which we can. Yay! All right. And Marcus Notch Kirsten also tweeted the news, and we've settled with Bethesda. Yay! All right, so I'm glad you boys finally reined in your EP contest, whatever.
Really?
Got over yourself. But really, Bethesda, did you think anybody was going to mistake Scrolls for Elder Scrolls? I mean, if you could see the look that I'm giving you, it's the whole not amused, blinking look. Yeah. Not good.
Did we
coughing my head off and trying not to
use
my voice. I know. I need my voice. Which I'll do without my little girl voice. It'd be horrible.
We love your little girl voice. It's so adorable. All right. Well, Ginger has been saying this for months.
What's going on?
Apparently, Mega Upload, they had a ton of users from DOJ and the U.S. Senate. Yeah.
Imagine that. Oh, my God, right?
According to VentureBeat, the popular file hosting site that U.S. government shut down mid-January may have had many users in the U.S. government, according to a new interview with founder Kim.com. .com and several other Mega Upload employees were named in a 72-page indictment issued in January. It alleged that .com and his colleagues facilitated $500 million in damages to copyright owners. Now, in a new interview with TorrentFreak, .com said that Mega Upload has been negotiating with the Department of Justice to take back files that were lost when Mega Upload was shut down. At the time of shutdown, many users were vocally upset that they had lost legal files that were hosted on Mega Upload. While .com talked about helping users get their files back, he also let slip another little detail about Mega Upload that could make the U.S. government look bad. Oh, we should say worse. Guess what?
Yeah.
He says, we found a large number of Mega accounts from the U.S. government officials, including the Department of Justice and the U.S. Senate. If .com's statement holds true, it will likely strengthen Mega Upload's position in court. If the files U.S. employees were sharing were legal, Mega Upload can use them as an example to show how it's a legitimate business. And alternately, if the files government employees were sharing were illegal, Mega Upload can use them to show how it had no control over what users were doing, even the government had copyright files later.
It was a win in either direction. Nice.
You're screwed.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Oh.
So, a nonprofit company called Electronic Frontier Foundation has offered help to those users who in early February but Mega Upload customers still have no simple way to get their files back. Mega Upload users who are still without access to important files, including government employees, can email the EFF at megaUploadMissing@EFF.org. That's EF as in Frank, F as in Frank, .org. Currently, .com is out on bail in New Zealand, but the government, our government here, has been filed extradition papers to get him brought over here, and .com is still maintaining that he's innocent of all charges. I have to agree that he is innocent. He didn't put the stuff there. He just made it possible.
Yeah.
You know, granted, he was living a little large, and I'm sure he had some other illegal activities he was, you know, involved in. But on this particular case, I have to agree that he didn't do anything. But, ooh, this is juicy because I can't wait to see which way the government's going to lean on this one. Either way, fruit. You can't.
Either way, you are screwed.
Ah, lovely. Lovely, lovely.
Right. I guess it is my turn.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my voice. I'm going to lose it. All right, so, judge dismisses one fraud claim from West versus Activision case. Activision Blizzard had some luck this week in court when one of the claims of fraud brought against it by the ongoing legal battle against former Infinity Ward heads Jason West and Vincent Zampella and Electronic Arts was dismissed by the presiding judge. California State Superior Court Judge Elihu Burley, I probably said your name wrong, sorry dude, today sided with Activision in their assertion that a fraudulent inducement claim made by West and Zampella was without merit and shouldn't be allowed to move forward. Both Judge Burley left the duo's commissary fraud move forward. Alright, so the former Infinity Ward execs added the fraud claims to a 2010 lawsuit in which they alleged that Activision fired them as a way to avoid paying millions of dollars in royalties for Modern Warfare 2. Activision claimed that they were fired because they were in secret talks with EA, who is the devil, who set up a new development studio and inked a publishing deal for the new shooter they planned to develop. In a December 2010 cross-complaint filed by Activision, the publisher asked for $400 million in damages from EA for interfering with the contracts of the two former Infinity Ward employees. All right, so it looks like the case is actually going to proceed on May 7th, so that's not long before we get to see the really good fight. If you're wanting to read more about it, it is SC107041 in the California Superior Angeles County. So you can go look it up. Yay!
Woo! Well?
Good. I'm kind of wondering who's going to win. I mean, is Activision going to be able to take on EA?
That's not a Godzilla versus Mothra, actually. That's a Godzilla versus, a bear. I'm sorry, Activision. I would like to see you on top of this. This would be a hard sell.
No.
Activision being the bear in this scenario, I don't know. I think, that's one of those we're going to step on you and it'll be a splat and nobody will be, yeah. I don't know. They may win. It could be a David and Goliath, and Activision could be David in that. So
that would be nice. I would actually like to see Activision win against EA because EA, it would be nice because y'all are sending us stuff right now.
Yes, and podcast every morning.
Okay, guys,
here's the problem with EA. EA is so large that there's a couple of people that work at EA who actually do like us. Okay, so this is not all of EA. I want to be clear on that. Whoever runs the Twitter really likes us. Every once in a while, they'll retweet something we say and tell people to follow, which we're thankful for. Thank you. And then every once in a while, we'll run across a PR person who says, "Let me go ahead and send you a copy of this game." Every once in a while. But it's when we start, when that particular person's a little busy and we start getting towards the higher ups and it happens to be a guy, this is always when it's bad. You guys need to just, at EA.
But you have a fun box. You don't play games.
Yeah, so we need to find those people. They need to put all the people who say, you know what, I have an open door policy. We love all websites, all gamers, and put those people on the forefront. Because otherwise, EA, eventually, I don't know how to tell you this, but 51% of all gamers are women. Eventually, we are going to get pissed off, and then you won't play anymore. Let me tell you by saying, the hand that holds the controller is the hand that rules the world, and we're holding most of the controllers. I don't know how to tell you that, but that's how it's going. Okay, anyway, moving along. Are they going to throw us out? Oh, my God. They're going to throw us off of Blog Talk. It's too much estrogen over there in that show. Okay. So, of course, it's time for me to tell you about our featured job. That's my intro music for our featured job. I'm sorry, I had some coffee and vitamins. Be afraid. Okay, so you peoples out there that are good at the software development, yeah, that's our featured job for the day. Go over and check it out on our front page, GameMatrix.com. It is in Detroit, Michigan. So if you're up in Michigan way, fantastic news for you. There's a job opening. And remember, if you are looking for a job or if you'd like to post that you're looking to hire some expert, wonderful talent, you can pop over to our job boards. It's only $70 for a week-long ad. That is way cheaper than anybody else. On the internet. The internet's way cheaper. You could like post for a whole month and just sweep up everybody.
Yes.
Now, back to my news. Astro Gaming. Heard of those people?
Uh-uh.
Well, let me back it up. SMSC. They are called a semiconductor company, I guess is what they're calling themselves, have announced that themselves, along with Astro Gaming, has selected SMSC's ClearNet, is what it's called, technology to deliver lossless wireless audio streaming for its gaming headsets. Is that not hot?
That is very hot.
When Blaster hears this, we may have to tie his hands up above the desk. Just tie them up so he can't move them. Interoperability is what they're calling it, across brands makes it possible for users to recognize and pair with other ClearNet products to access and stream audio to multiple destinations. So for gamers, this means high-quality, low-latency audio, and it makes a break the experience. So ClearNet technology, according to Aaron Dreyer, who's the director of marketing at Astro Gaming, says it puts their clear technology in their gaming platform will bring consumers the ultimate in high-definition wireless audio, ClearNet's low interference, uncompressed transmission of audio and chat with up to 4 separate channels make it a great match for multiplayer gaming environments. That's from Gene Sheridan, who's the Senior Vice President and General Manager of SMSC's wireless audio products. He says pure audio, free of wires, gives consumers an optimal gaming experience. I know I would like that.
Very hot.
SMSC's focus on wireless audio solutions propels the company to a leadership position in the wireless audio market. Clear technology enables high quality, again, low latency, that's lag for those of you who don't know what latency means, wireless distribution of digital content to headphones, your speakers, and other audio devices to enhance the consumer's listening experience. SMS is clear technology. Why is my thing going off? Okay, how about that my phone has the correct time, but it's showing alarms for an hour ago. It's showing the alarms for the old time.
Wow.
They're saying examples of wireless audio products that incorporate ClearNet technology are the 5.1, 7.1 surround sound home theater systems, sound bars, subwoofers, headphones, and gaming and VoIP headsets. ClearNet wireless audio products are designed to coexist with your Wi-Fi and Bluetooth traffic, supported multi-band RF, low latency, and high bit sampling rates. In addition, SMSC's Jukebox platform offers popular music applications along with the industry standard Ethernet and Wi-Fi interfaces, which are going to give customers access to music content from all over the world via their home networks or the Internet. Okay, so for more information, if you want to check out and see what they got, because you just need to be wireless and free and roam your house while you talk, I do it anyway. I plug in my Xbox headset, and then I put it in my pocket, the controller in my pocket, or I hook it in my pants, and then I walk around the house. Sometimes when I'm playing with you all, I'd be like, hang on, I need to take a break, or I'm just sitting there. I've gone to the kitchen and everywhere else weird in my house. So I like this idea of this. But you can check it out, www.smsc.com/wireless_audio. Yeah, you're going to have to listen to that real slow later in case you missed it.
That is interesting.
I like what they're doing. That is awesome.
That sounds awesome. All right, so what do we got?
What you got? What happened?
I said I'm going to lose my voice is what we've got.
Cool.
All right. So, Wasteland 2 to be VRM-free, says InXile. InXile is putting together its list of rewards so to support the development of Wasteland 2 through a Kickstarter campaign. By the way, we're still working on ours.
Yeah.
Which is scheduled to launch sometime this month. After creating the different reward levels, InXile made a few changes at the request of the community. The most notable is that the game will be, VRM-free when it's released. The company listed the new changes in a recent post on the Wasteland Survival Guide. It says, VRM-free, the skill and weapon for supporters will not affect the game balance, but will absolutely be entertaining. Added a Wasteland 2 poster to a light level, added a digital concept art book, and did a solid pass on clarification of reward levels. All right, so the, good Lord, I'm not going to read all those. Anyway, they have all the reward tiers. I'm just going to look at what the biggest ones are. For $10,000, you get all the previous rewards, which I didn't read to you. Party to buy Brian Fargo, Alan Pavlish, and other key members of the Wasteland team. You must be able to travel to Newport Beach, California. You get to talk design, previous works, or anything else you'd like to discuss. Also, a shrine in Wasteland 2 will be erected in your honor. You'll receive 50 copies of the game to do what you want, and of course, a level 6 Desert Ranger Medal of Honor limited edition collectible. Yay! Alright, so that actually sounds kind of fun.
All right. Well, interesting things are still happening with the game. Who knows what's going to happen next?
What they do this time, what's going
on? Well, it looks like they might be trying to bounce back, but we're not really sure, according to GI.biz.
That's horrible.
We're not really sure. They're like, these people, I can only imagine the anxiety they are feeling over at Game, especially the people who, you know, work there and need the job. But shares in the Game group have crashed and then bounced back up as investors dump stock at a rapid rate today. At the time the GI.biz posted this particular story, more than 244 million shares have been traded today. That's compared to an average of 10.8 million over the previous three-month period, indicating panic among investors. While some investors are dumping the stock in the doomed retail business, others have picked up shares as at a 0.5 pence low, causing a dead cat bounce, a brief recovery following a fall from a great height. I'm thinking about I need to go pick up me some, okay? Seriously, I say that every morning. Sometimes I'm going to buy stock, and sometimes I'm like, eh, but this has been on my mind since they started. Maybe I need to grab a couple of these. At 5 pence, ooh, that's cheap. And if they happen to survive this, ooh, yeah. Okay, so the company issued a it would be reviewing the position of all its assets in the UK and international territories with expectations that some or all of the company is up for sale. Last week, directors in the company tried to show confidence in the falling stock, with seven members of the executive team buying 174,995 shares at 5.35 pence. I'm assuming that P is pence. You UK people, I'm very sorry. I know us Americans, we don't know your monetary values. I'm sorry. They don't teach us that in schools. Talk to our peoples over here. That original spend of 936,233 euros is currently worth 272,992 euros. And according to Mark, Mark, who's a, I'm not even going to try to say your last name, Mark. He's from Singer Capital Markets. He said there is no potential buyer likely to come forward before the company goes into administration, which I'm assuming means their version of bankruptcy. Suggesting a deal would be preferable by anyone looking to buy the game group. He says that we suspect that any potential suitor would prefer to wait for formal administration. The formal administration process is what he told the BBC. He says through a pre-pack, the suitor would have much greater flexibility around store liabilities. And, wow. I think I'm going to go over and pick up a couple of these. I think all of us should. You American gamers, if you have access you all could have access. Go over and pick you up a ShareBuilder account. You should be owning stock in all the game companies that you play. You should be getting some kind of return or something. If you're going to gripe about the games, you should at least have a right to. I feel like if you're going to gripe, you bought the game, that gives you some right. But when you own a piece of the company and you gripe, they listen. Trust me, they listen. EA, I owns a piece of EA. That's right.
Yes.
Backhand.
Is she threatening to smack and backhand people?
Pimps. Wow. I'm putting a pimp in my strong pimp hand. Get out there and get me my stuff. You know what? Get out there and get me my stuff. Yay, get it.
Corey, you are so nuts.
Yes.
Oh, right. Wow.
I told Dave we were going to tie him up and make him play Mario Party 9, and he says, cruel and unusual, depending on what I'm tied to.
a bed.
It's daytime.
Bed of nails.
Tied to an ottoman. That's much safer during daytime.
Okay, yeah. Tied to an ottoman. My bad. All right, so Imaginary Range, Episode 2, now available on iOS devices. Yay! I have no idea what this is. Right, so Square Enix, ruiner of games, the publisher, announced today that every update to the first chapter of Imaginary Range is now available for download on the iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad platforms. The update brings two brand new mini-games, Chocobo Racer and Sphere Bounce. Additionally, Omega Blast, the popular game from Chapter 1, has been powered up and remade into Omega Burst. New features include the ability to check and update Facebook and Twitter while reading the comic, and competing with players around the world for top score via the Apple Game Center. Imaginary Range is a full-color comic that includes a selection of mini-games inserted within the flow of the plot, immersing gamers alongside the cast as they proceed through the story. The project was overseen by Motomu Toriyama, director of Final Fantasy VIII. It was written by Soyuki Tsukishima. I hope I said your name right. Author of the novel Emis Neguyu Anyway, so it was also character designed for the Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles series. Anyway, it's available now. It looks like it is free, and it is on the Apple iTunes Store, so it's only for you people with the Apple iPhones, iPods, iPads, all that fun stuff. For us Android users, we are spared. So,
yeah. Wow, we're spared. Oh, well, I know what you're thinking sitting there at your desk. Man, I should be out playing some mini golf, something. Like that.
Mini golf in forever.
Is that what you were? That's why you were thinking it. You're like, I could just play some of that right now. Well, Majesco Entertainment says, we got you back. They've announced today that the Mini Putt Park, their first internally developed social game, is coming out exclusively for Facebook in the next few weeks, giving new players of all ages the ability to create their very own mini golf course with a full old. Did you hear that on my phone?
Oh, my God. Your phone just go off.
It's all the alarms are so off. Minnie Putt Park is supposed to be the ultimate Facebook putt-putt experience. Again, this should not be for gamers of all ages because no one under the age of 13 is supposed to have a Facebook. I want to point that out to you, Majesco Entertainment. Let's stay within the rules. It's being called the world's first ever virtual mini-putt construction kit. Mini-putt Park allows players of all ages or over the age of 13 on Facebook the chance to build a replica of their real-life home course, a fantastical otherworldly course, or something in between. Players can either visit Putter Island and conquer course after course, each complete with a crazy boss to defeat, or take the fun to their friends list by sharing their own custom courses with friends to compete, earn experience points, in-game currency, and special prizes, and use them to upgrade your own courses. Get all the interactive fun and social aspects of playing miniature golf without ever leaving your home. Some of the features include deep customization. You can build and customize every hole of your own designed courses. That can be taken so wrong if this was a Thursday night show. With Mini Putt Park, you are in control of crafting and creating your own mini putt course to share with your friends and family from all over the world. There's social integration. You can play on courses built by your friends. Send them the ultimate smack talk by becoming the queen of the course on your friend's home turf, then challenging them to beat your record. It said king. I changed it to queen. Oh. You can also visit Putter Island. Take on over a dozen bosses on Putter Island, each unique and full of character. And, of course, there are exclusive in-game items with hundreds of items to unlock or purchase. There's always something new to add to your course, including dastardly devious course traps, peripheral buildings to add additional character to your course, and tons of unique decorations and more. Oh. And again, it's right now in beta until mid-April, so you can go over to miniputtpark.com or miniputtpark on Facebook, and I'm assuming she's beta playing, maybe level 15 by the time this podcast finishes. Just keep up with her. Just don't even bother. Just build your course and relax.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God. Jay says, he says he'll play through all 48 Mario Party games. If that's the case, set it up, because he loves the morning show. We love you, too.
We love you, too. We love you. My.
Do it.
Okay. I'm dying over here. I know. All right. So, what am I reading? The Interaction Studios announced today the immediate availability of the Easter edition of Ultimate Omelette, the latest episode in its flagship Chicken Invaders series of games appropriate for all ages. The game puts players at the forefront of a battle against invading intergalactic chickens bent on revenge against the human race for our oppression of Earth chickens. In this episode, the chickens have constructed a gigantic cannon capable of launching planet-scale eggs against Earth, with the ultimate goal of encrusting humanity in an impenetrable wall made of egg white.
So it's angry chickens is what they're saying.
Yes, angry chickens. Sounds familiar? All right, so joined by an unlikely ally, players will travel to foreign, unexplored galaxies in an effort to locate and destroy the egg cannon before it reaches Earth. The Easter edition is characterized by the addition of Easter bunnies to the ranks of invading chickens, which attack relentlessly in colorful groups and meticulously choreographed formations.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. So apparently Chicken Invaders was introduced in 1997, with the game series making its first public appearance in 1999. Since then, it's won over 50 awards and has been downloaded 150 million times. Wow, it's been translated to 13 languages and made available in 154 countries, reaching Windows, Mac, and Linux platforms, mobile phones, and retail outlets alike. All right, that's nuts. Okay, so GameAndMatrix.com, head over there, check it out. Yay! What's the deal is today? I don't know if it's time change or if it's just because GDC was last week and everybody's recouping today from all the parties. That is like nuts.
Oh, you, there's tons. You just got nowhere to look. All right, so Doom Maker John Romero says, stop it, there will be no Daikatana 2. But he is talking about a new project he's working on. Oh, cool.
Daikatana 2.
No Daikatana 2. So if you don't know who John Romero is, he is the creator of Doom, Quake, and Wolfenstein, depending on how you want to say it.
Those. No.
Yeah. He's... And there will be no Daikatana 2. No, no DK2. No, 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 no.
But
he is working on an FPS, which he's not told us the name of yet. He has also launched a new company called Loot Drop. Well, it's actually formed in 2010. But they right now are specializing, the team specializes in mobile and social games. Okay, that was a quick one. So let me back it up. Let me tell you about some other new stuff. Since Ginger can't find no news, bad Ginger.
I'm sorry. I was reading Twitter. My bad. I got news.
Oh, that was a really short one, so I could, yeah.
Okay.
All right, so those of you who love the, or are waiting to hear about the Nokia's new tablet, it's going to be 10-inch Windows 8.
Mm-hmm.
Let me back it up. Vitamins kicked in. Okay. So Nokia is currently working on a 10-inch Windows 8 tablet running an ARM-based processor. It's going to be released by the end of the year. This is according to a report by DigiTimes, which is a Taiwanese news site. They are known for rumors, though, so maybe this could be good or not good. Nokia has gone all in with the Windows Phone 7, and its CEO, Stephen Eloff, has mentioned that the opportunity that tablets would provide. According to VentureBeat as well, Microsoft is betting its entire tablet strategy on Windows 8, both through full-fledged Windows 8 PCs in tablet form and a more lean Windows on ARM devices, which won't run legacy Windows apps. So, all my old games won't work. I have to keep an XP around for that. Of course, they're saying it makes total sense for Nokia to be one of the leading Windows 8 tablet makers. Not only has the company consistently shown its manufacturing expertise, it also is in the rare position to build a WOA tablet with fresh eyes. Nokia hasn't waited time building Android tablets, although it did pioneer early tablets with devices like the N800. And it's not coming, it slates from the perspective of a traditional computer like Dell. According to DigiTimes, the Nokia Windows 8 tablet will run a Qualcomm dual-core CPU, most likely the company's Snapdragon S4. I love the names that come up with it. Nokia is said to be outsourcing the production of the tablet to Compal and is aiming for initial shipments at around 200,000 units. Let's just hope they don't do any slave trade labor like Apple.
Who would do such a thing? Oh, my God, nobody would do that.
Why could they not just create jobs here? It amazes me that they keep telling people that the economy is bad, we need more jobs here, and they keep outsourcing. Oh, wait a minute. I got to do this one.
All right, you do it.
I'm sorry, I got to.
I'm yawning. I'm trying not to.
Okay. Well, I think I mentioned this company before. Let me open up the website so I can be sure because I have to have words to go with my thing. Yeah, we have told you about this company before, and ironically, we had not heard of them. I think it's because they're not based here. I'm not sure if they are or not. But it's a company called Game Insight. They're a Moscow-based game publisher, and they own a majority stake in about 15 game studios, more than 300 developers. The company has published dozens of games on Android and iOS, and here's the kicker. It's run by 5 women.
Ooh.
Now, the company is expanding and making a whole big splash. Miss Lisa Chumanchenko, I'm sorry. We're going to have them on to see if we can have her pronounce the name right, get some timing together. She said in an interview that...
Well, at least it's not
Spawn. Yeah. You'll never forget his name again, will you? She said in an interview that they aimed to triple revenue from $50 million in 2011 to more than $150 million this year. And it's expanding from Greater Russia to San Francisco with a new office that could have dozens of employees. It plans on publishing 26 games this year and will expand to publish third-party games developed by outside studios. The third-party games may hit the market by the summer. Now, the company is one more example of how the world has flattened in the game business, with barriers to entry dropping so that anyone with talent can start a mobile game business and become an international success. In Russia, companies such as Zetolab, Mail.ru, who is one of our companies we love to talk about here, and others have proven they can make hits. We've learned how to make good games and to market them, Alyssa said. She says, now we're making the bridge from Moscow to San Francisco, and I'm very much thinking how it will go to Asia. The company is profitable, and it already has 50 million monthly active users. In February alone, it grossed 6.5 million. It released its first Android game in China a couple of weeks ago. Trushkina, who's a vice president of business development, is heading the expansion in San Francisco, where there may be 30 to 40 employees by year end. Chomachenko has been in the game business since 2000. She was the marketing and ad chief for Astrum Online Entertainment until the company merged with Mail.ru Group in 2009. After that, she started Game Insight, which started out first as an incubator. The company has only 15 employees in its headquarters, which handles publishing and marketing, but it owns 51% to 75% stake in its 15 studios. She says, "I know a lot of talented developers, and we're focused on investing in them." Besides Alyssa and Kina, I'm hoping I'm saying names right. Other executives include Olga these are my peoples and I can't say their names. Officer Alexandra, who's the vice president of marketing, and Leonid, who's the vice president of production. The studios publish games through 6L, formerly Six Waves LOL apps on Facebook. Heard of those people? The Game Insight publishes its own games on mobile platforms. The company tried social games on Facebook first, but found the market was already saturated with Zynga titles. Then it launched its first game on mobile in January of last year. The game Paradise Island debuted on Android just as Google was kicking off its in-game payment systems to enable free-to-play games. Within 2 days, the title jumped to the top grossing games list on Android in 26 countries and stayed there for 20 weeks. In the first month, their revenue was $700,000, and in the second month, revenue jumped to $1.2 million, even with minimal advertising expenses of around $20,000. Game Insight also broke new ground when it created Mystery Manor. I know you guys have seen the ads for that. The first hidden object game on Facebook was followed by Playdom's big hit Gardens of Time. Hidden object games are a big deal in single-player games on the casual web, but Game Insight and Playdom turned the genre into a more social experience. So we decided to focus heavily on the Android market and word-of-mouth marketing. The company expanded into iOS. By the end of 2011, it was publishing on Facebook, Android, and iOS. The studios are currently spread out across Russia, Belarus, and the Ukraine. And I'm sorry, I said that middle one weird. They said they're concentrating on getting the best of the best. Says we help them understand free-to-play monetization. To us, quality of content is what matters. That gives you word-of-mouth marketing, and that is what leads to the best results. As for getting 5 women to run the company, Alyssa says we look for the best people. We're not afraid to innovate.
That is a lot of money.
And we're sorry to say we had not heard of them before, but we will not be forgetting them anytime soon. This is amazing. I don't want to sit in their laps. I don't think they like us that way, Ginger.
Come on. They will.
Jay says, sometimes I hear about these games on the show, and all I can say is, where in the bleep does Ginger find this stuff? We find it because that's what we do, baby.
That is what we do. That is fierce.
We're supposed to find the stuff for you. You don't need to just hear about Mass Effect all the time. Don't you want to hear about something else that may be the next Mass Effect? Don't you want to say, Gamer Girls Radio told it to me first. That's how I found it. I've been playing. I'm level 80. You just level 2.
Exactly.
Exactly. Oh, my God. I have corrupted the gender.
yes, because it was so hard to corrupt me.
Exactly.
All right, so Jerry Prochaska, president of the Gaming League, has penned an open letter to the competitive online community, gaming community, asking them to join him in ridding the community of the homophobia, racism, and sexism that seems to be considered acceptable behavior by some in the online gaming community.
Can we talk about that before?
Yes, this is hot. All right. All leagues, organizations, and individuals associated with esports, especially senior leaders and sponsors, should set a zero-tolerance policy on any homophobic, racist, or sexist language or behavior. You should train your staff and your employees in these policies. He says, number 3, we should self-police. I'm not asking for a witch hunt, but I am asking that you reach out to players and privately point out their bad behavior. Yes, I think this guy's all right, so if they fail to cease any appropriate behavior immediately,
zero tolerance for this.
Mm-hmm.
Should first give the player a chance to correct their own behavior. Hold leaders accountable. If leadership of any organization or sponsor fails to act, we immediately hold them accountable through social media, boycotts, and pressure on customers, fans, and any revenue streams they may have. Hell yeah. He asks that Twitch TV and Justin TV ensure they have a transparent, fair process by which to handle these issues. Also, a clear statement about diversity and inclusion. And he says, finally, we hold online events to raise awareness of this issue in various communities, SC2, FGC, COD. To start, I ask that you share this on all social media and voice your support. Over the next few weeks, I will be reaching out to many organizations to get their support in helping an esports culture that is not only diverse but inclusive. A culture that is not just about representation but also about utilization. I know these are big ideas, but from McDonald's to IBM, from Deloitte to Accenture, from Ford, oh my god, alright, top companies do this every day. And he's right, we should not be having this kind of stuff.
Ironically, one of the things that I've heard a lot of the women devs that have been around for a while, the Brenda Brathwaite, if you're not familiar with her, look her up on Wikipedia, who was saying that a lot of the gaming industry still has the boys club mentality. And if you don't know what that is, young girls and younger guys, that means where, you know, when the men are by themselves, they say certain things. Women do it too, but we tend not to bring it outside of the conversation that we're having. You know, we're sitting around having our coffee. Yeah, we tend to talk good or bad about you guys, but we don't bring it to you after the conversation is over. You never know we said anything about you because, ironically enough, where people think women have, there is a don't say, this is between us sitting here at this table. You know, if Billy had stinky underwear on, it's between us at this table, and, you know, I told Billy directly. So, but men tend to, and I'm generalizing here, I'm aware, not all men do this, but especially in the industry, it's really bad. They'll sit around and talk about, like, the guy with Justin TV that was making comments about the girl. They'll sit around and do it in private, and then when the girl's there, they feel necessary to say something to her instead of, you know, there's things you should keep in your head, people, just don't say it.
Yes,
and then you
yes,
don't get in trouble.
Because I happen to tell you, had I been that girl, you would have been eating that camera.
Oh, he wouldn't eat in the camera. I already told you what I would have done. And I walked over to him with a magnifying glass, put it right on his crotch, and said, I don't see anything. Maybe I need a bigger magnifying glass. Sorry. Well, we all know.
It just annoyed me. He literally chased her out of the room.
Yeah, I'm going to say to her, toughen up. We know how some of the guys can be. Toughen up and don't let them run you out of the room next time. Turn around and, you know, take it and then dish it back. That's how we have to operate here.
Yes.
On that note, we are running out of time. This has been all about some girl power today.
It has been, man. You guys have been out of control this weekend. All I'm going
to say is there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff. So anyway, we will see you guys bright and early tomorrow.
And Jay, I need a sugar daddy in Second Life. Just saying.
No, ma'am. You know what you need? You need to get you some, yeah, you know. That's not what I was going to say. But you know, you need to get you some GTA 4. That's what you need to get. All right, people, we are about to have to roll up out of here. As always, you can find us at GamerNatrix.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com. Please post us to the end of the letter on the site. Only people who play Steam Hospital get that reference. But we're almost done cleaning up. Until then, you can listen to us live, read whatever you can see. And we'll see you guys bright and early tomorrow. Stay out of trouble, people. We're watching. By the way, Ginger, this is from GTA for work. And see you yet.
The side. I'll wait. Inside the cage, I'll wait.